This podcast is produced by The Sound Boutique, an award-winning audio production company right here in Shepparton. It produces music for TV and brands, it fixes problem audio for a variety of clients, and yes, it produces podcasts like the one you're listening to right now, as well as providing training for people who want to produce their own. If you'd like help with anything from music, problem audio, or if you'd like your organisation to start a podcast, you can contact The Sound Boutique at the email hello@thesoundboutique.com or via the link in the show notes. This time on The Shepartonian.
I just put posters up, just put like a generic picture and put my phone number, anyone interested to contact me and come along to the first session.
And it was her that said that is the saddest thing that she's seen for what could be the most amazing property. And that's what triggered it. It wasn't anything particular. We weren't looking particularly to buy somewhere.
Hello and welcome to The Shepartonian, your monthly listen-in to the voices, stories and goings-on that make this riverside village tick. I'm Gareth, and in this episode we're stretching from the football pitch to the middle of the Thames. First of all, we meet Denise Johnson, a founder of the Shepartonesses, a women's walking football club that's as much about camaraderie and confidence as it is about goals. Started in October last year, it's already become a lively local fixture, open to all women, no matter their fitness, their age or football background. Then we hop across the water to Doyley Carr Island, a place steeped in musical theatre history, once home to the impresario behind Gilbert and Sullivan. I speak to its current owner, Andy Hill, who, along with his wife, Sheila, has transformed the island from a derelict shell into a place of community and creativity. Two very different Shepparton stories, both rooted in the same spirit, bringing people together. So let's start with the Shepartonesses. I joined Denise and the team at Thamesmead School playing field, where they were already warming up. Denise, welcome to the Shepartonian.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Let's start with the basics. Who are the Shepartonesses?
Okay, well, the Shepartonesses is a women's walking football club founded in October 2024. Like everyone else, I had a notion of I wanted to do something for the community, put something back, and the only way I could really do it was draw upon my only and first love, football.
What gave you the idea to start a women's walking football club in Shepparton?
Right, well, I noticed there was some walking football clubs mixed over at Walton on Thames, but I didn't see anything football-wise, apart from children, for the Shepparton area. So I wanted to do something for specifically women to bring people together.
So tell me about that first session in October. How did it feel to get it off the ground?
Wow, it was quite interesting. I had no idea who was going to come along to the session, thinking, is anyone going to turn up? What have I done?
Were you advertising on Facebook?
So what I did was I did it the old-fashioned way. I did it on posters. I just put posters up, just put like a generic picture and put my phone number, anyone interested to contact me and come along to the first session, not knowing how many people, and there was 10 people.
That's fantastic. Yes. Oh, that's great, and clearly means there's a need for this sort of thing.
Yes.
Who comes along then? What kinds of backgrounds, ages, football experience?
Ooh, we've had a bit of an eclectic mix. So people who have seen it on TV, had no prior game time regards to football, and other people who have played football in the past. But it's mainly a demographic of people over 40. But my walking football club is not age specific. It's anyone, any female to come along. Sorry, guys. Any females to come along, even anyone in their 20s or 30s who can't play full football because of an injury or something else that's stopping him from doing so.
Yeah. So what happens in a typical session? I can see the ladies are warming up at the moment. Is it more about drills, games, or just a good, I'd say run around, but walk around?
Yes, so what we do, first of all, I normally ask all attendees, are there any injuries or niggles anyone has that I need to be aware of? Normally do a warm-up, but it's about 20 degrees at the moment, but even warming up the joints and the muscles is very important. Yeah. So we go from there, we do some drills, more about communication, and at the end we have a game.
Oh, lovely. So, I mean, I can imagine this sort of group would be fantastic for mental health. How has the community feeling in the group grown since October?
Well, some people know each other, but there's quite a few people within the group who didn't know anyone, and they've kind of bonded. It's gelled in a really good way. They just have a laugh, and the communication has gone in leaps and bounds from not knowing a name and just, I'm not too sure what to do with this pass, or I'm not too sure what to do about this. And the education side about learning different drills and putting it all together when they're playing a game is amazing.
You're clearly a big Lionesses fan.
I'm
getting that hunch from the name. What impact do you think they've had on women's football locally and nationally?
Since the England women's team was formed back in 1971, 72, so basically as old as me, I shouldn't say that. It's a case of, it's come on leaps and bounds, with the first game dating back to 1881 to where the Lionesses were, and me being there and watching it in 2022 when they won the Euros. And unfortunately, me also being there for the 2023 World Cup final defeat. But what they've done for the children, the next generation, for women's football, I can't even put it to words, really.
Oh, and I couldn't agree more. Mm. The Shepherdinesses, by the way, was that your fault?
That's on you. Yes, that's all on me. Obviously, a little nod to the Lionesses, and you have to put Shepperton in. So, yes, it might be a very long word in the back of a shirt, but it has to be done. And another thing that's set in stone is blue and white. My sins, I'm an Ipswich Town supporter, so it has to be blue and white.
Oh, fantastic. So the Lionesses, is there a kind of a widespread community spirit that attracts people rather than the football, or is it kind of intertwined? Or
yeah, I would say a bit of both, really. It's to do with the social interaction, the community feel, the fitness, the mental health, as you mentioned before, just to get together. And yeah, there's always going to be a nod to the Lionesses, but it's also, we have conversations about, someone's an Arsenal fan, someone's a Tottenham fan, got those rivalries, but it's all banter.
Yeah.
And it's the way the WSL is going at the moment, leaps and bounds as well. I wanted to bring some of that back to here in Shepperton.
Looking ahead, are your hopes for the group going forward? Do you want more women to come along? Is there an ideal number for the group?
Okay, so we're outside today, and obviously a lot more space compared to in the sports hall. The sports hall will probably be about 5-a-side, so we're looking about 10 to maybe 12, including people in goal. But outside we can take more people. For the moment we're doing it once a fortnight, but going forward we're actually going to do it once a week on a Tuesday.
There's no maximum number. It's just whoever wants to come along.
No, everyone is welcome to come along.
More the merrier.
Yep, absolutely.
Have you got plans, or would you consider playing against other walking football clubs?
Yes, that would be the idea. Gauge from the group who would be interested in doing it competitively. What I'm trying to organise now is there's walking football clubs, like I mentioned, across the way in Walton. I know some contacts over there. We've also had one of the England over 60 women's walking football players, Sharon. She kindly came along for a couple of sessions, and I learnt so much from her. She's very, very powerful, more ways than one. But yes, we are looking to do more sessions and going forward, more competitions.
So if someone's listening and thinking, I'm not sporty or I haven't kicked a ball in years, what would you say to them?
I'd say you come along and you'll be surprised in what you do actually learn, and also how to up your fitness. And the main thing is how to meet new people, have a laugh and just enjoy.
Oh, that's great. So how can someone get involved if they are interested?
Okay, so I have just set up a Facebook site called Shepherdinesses. That's come online just recently. And also have an email address, if I can mention that.
Yeah,
yep.
Of course.
Okay, it's shepherdinesses@yahoo.com.
Denise, thank you so much for inviting me here today, and good luck with the session.
Thank you for your time, Gareth.
Shepperton Matters is your monthly community magazine, hand-delivered, available for pickup, and also online at villagematters.co.uk. You'll find it full of stories, history, information, and local traders and advertisers. 9,000 copies are distributed every month. Call Monica Jones on 07979 808 991 for more information. Just downstream from Shepperton Lock, there's a private island that sparked local curiosity for decades. Doily Car Island, named after the impresario behind Gilbert and Sullivan, was once home to grand parties and theatrical legends. But in recent years, it's been undergoing a quieter kind of transformation. It started with a kayak. As Andy Hill passed this quiet, crumbling island on the Thames, something caught his wife's eye.
We were kayaking. I was doing a charity kayak for the British Heart Foundation. And that was to kayak the whole length of the Thames over 5 days. I'd never kayaked before. So my wife said, you need to get some practice. So she cunningly persuaded me to get a double kayak so that she could sightsee from the back and I could get double the exercise. And it was really going past the island. And I have to say, it's credit to my wife as opposed to me, who's the much more the creative person. You know, Royal College of Art, she's much more creative and she can see through, you know, the boarded up windows and the terrible state of the house. And it was her that said that is the saddest thing that she's seen for what could be the most amazing property. And that's what triggered it. It wasn't anything particular. We weren't looking particularly to buy somewhere. But she was just so enamoured by the potential of it that she then forced me into action, as I politely say.
What they found inside was derelict, but not beyond hope.
The outside of it, you know, we have a beautiful glass dome, which I think I pointed out, that was smashed. So when it rained, the entrance hall was like a pond. The squatters and the vandals had basically stripped it of everything, so there was really nothing there. The stairway was broken, all the spindles had been smashed. I mean, it was derelict, but structurally very sound. We've recently had 3 grandchildren. And I think her vision was, what a lovely place to have a family home where the children, their partners, the grandchildren, the relatives and friends can come along and have a nice, you know, Christmas or summertime at the island. So I think that was her vision, which is what a lovely place to do that, much more for a sort of family and friends type thing. And we were very fortunate to have a daughter and son-in-law who were architects. And their specialist subject is very big period properties.
And they didn't just take it on, they moved in.
Even though we knew it was going to be a building site, it was the best thing that we did because you could start to live in the building. You could start to understand how it could work. You could also start to understand the other opportunities, the business opportunities that you could create around the island. So the moving in, albeit with a bit of a noisy morning or a bit of dust from time to time, you know, you can live with that. So the big debate is, you know, what necessities do we need to be able to move in? And mine was Sky Sports and Wi-Fi. So once I had that, I can pretty much live anywhere. Thankfully, my wife included a bedroom, you know, a couple of bathrooms and a kitchen. So we had the bare necessities. But it was without question the best thing that we did to move in and to live the experience of renovating a place like this. You learn from it. You can give very good advice to the architects because you can say, well, that doesn't quite work. But then you can have much more commercial thoughts about what else can you do with this fantastic, unique place that was literally dying. So I think this year is going to be a big year in terms of making some of the final steps in the restoration. But we've resigned ourselves to the fact that it's not a project with an end date. It's something that you will evolve and you will enjoy and you will involve the community in it. And I think if we do that, it'll just be a very good, fun project to do. But I don't ever see it ending.
Since then, the island has changed, subtly, thoughtfully. It's now a home, yes, but also a cafe, a mooring business, a gathering point.
Nauticalia, which is a lovely business just over from the island. I know Chris there. I can't tell you how supportive he was when I asked him, what's a mooring business? I mean, I literally knew nothing about it. And Chris was very happy to put the time and effort in to explain how to do it and what to do and all the rest of it. And it's that sort of involvement of the business community. And when we opened Doily's, you know, we have no idea how to run a cafe. We look at the local businesses and we found a local restaurant operator who was in Teddington, who's got some restaurants, and we were introduced to him by a moorer. So it was that sort of networking effect. So we met up with Ben and said, look, we've got this vision for a cafe at the end of the island, but we have no idea how to operate it. And he said, I'd love to do it. So you create these relationships out of you know, the more are recommending somebody who's done something in Teddington, and then he becomes the operator of the cafe and he employs local staff. And it's quite an incredible thing that you just do something and the effect of it, either through businesses or through the local community, is quite extraordinary.
That community spirit comes to life every summer when the island opens for a weekend of concerts.
I mean, it was the origin of that that amuses me the most. So the Weybridge Festival, as you know, is a very big community thing and it's an annual event. And the three ladies that run it came to the house a couple of years ago and they said, you know, well done for all of the activity at the island. It'd be great if you could involve it in the Weybridge Festival. I lovingly refer to these ladies as the Weybridge Mafia because I challenge anyone to say no. I mean, you just don't do it. So, of course, I said, of course, I'd be delighted to. How do we get the community involved in it? And I said, what would you like me to do? And they said, well, we have no idea. So then you get the default is, I wonder what Richard and Helen Doyley Cart would have done. Now, bearing in mind that this house was made as a party place, people from the Savoy used to come down, the Savoy Theatre, Claridge's. So they all used to come down here for weekend parties. And all sorts of people. Oscar Wilde was here. Churchill's mother used to come partying here. J.M. Barrie, obviously Gilbert and Sullivan. So lots of people used to come here. So when the Weybridge Mafia asked me, you know, what should we do? I turned around and said, well, what would Richard and Helen have done? I said, they'd have had 3 days of music and a hog roast and a Pim's tent. And that's what we did.
This year's events kick off on Friday, the 4th of July.
Friday, we've got Gilbert and Sullivan during the day. It's American Independence Day. We've got Miami Coast, which is a very good band on the Friday night. And then Saturday, we've got Flow Collective, sadly is sold out, very nicely sold out. I can't wait to see this band on the Sunday, which is called Yacht Brothers. And they are a 9-piece band. They've literally, some of the best musicians that you'll find, have put themselves together, quite local musicians. And I'm really looking forward to that. But then on the Saturday during the day and Sunday during the day, we have what's called a community and a family day. Very cheap ticket prices, all children under 10, free of charge. We have 4 local bands playing to the local community. So we sponsor some bands to play to the local community. And we have, you know, whack-a-mole and we have a coconut shy. And so we have all of the fun things that, that a family would enjoy on a day out. And of course, most importantly, with a place like this and the history, we've got our operator for Doyley's putting on a hog roast and he's going to have a curry and he's going to have all sorts of great food. So we'll have food and drink and entertainment, which is what this island's all about.
But even beyond the concerts, the hills have something wilder in mind, again thought of by Sheila.
She turned around and said, what about red squirrels? Oh. And I went, now there's an interesting thought. So I then started to research this, and I then ended up speaking to the chairman of the Red Squirrel Society, you know, as you do. And he, I mean, they were so helpful, these people, I can't describe it. And I discovered that it's illegal to trade in red squirrels. So I said, well, how do I buy some to populate the island? So they very kindly introduced me to a gentleman who did have some red squirrels. I went and met him, and his partner was Dame Judy Dench. And he was telling me that the king is so passionate about red squirrels. And I didn't know this. He was so passionate about red squirrels that in one of his places in Scotland, he literally opens the door and the red squirrels will come in because they're an amazing species. So he was the person that said to me, if you get rid of the grey squirrels on the island, he said, you're not allowed to buy or trade in red squirrels. He said, but I'd be very happy to lend you a few pairs. And then maybe when they breed, you might be able to return them to me. So a lovely, lovely guy. So we've still got some work to do to make sure that the island is secure and it's rid of its grey squirrels. So we have to go through that process. And there's a few little other things that we have to do. But I just think it would be a lovely, almost recognition to what Doyley Cart would have done. That we can build a nice red squirrel sanctuary on the island because they're protected and we'll keep the grey squirrels out. I mean, most people around here will never have seen a red squirrel. But then you think to yourself, the community coming over to the cafe and they go, oh, we've seen a red squirrel. Yeah. So we think we'll do that. I don't think we'll get it done in 2025 because I want to do it right. So I think that's going to be a project for 2026. So, amazing. You know, is it a business project? No. Is it just something that Doyley Cart would have done? Almost certainly.
And if Andy could invite just one guest to experience all of this,
I would love it if the king would come. And there's three reasons for that. Number one, his vision that he had for Dumfries House and his vision about the house, the gardens and the community. So I'd like to say thank you for that because it's what directs us in what we do. So he's got two roles, one of which is for the Gilbert and Sullivan Society. So he's an incredibly keen Gilbert and Sullivan enthusiast. So he's the patron of the Gilbert and Sullivan Society. But he's also patron of the Red Squirrel Society. And to me, it would be lovely if he could come along, listen to some Gilbert and Sullivan in a house that's using his business model, and to see red squirrels and to listen to this music. I think he would thoroughly enjoy it. And whilst I could think of lots of people I'd love to invite, but somebody who's got the vision and the connection to the music and this ridiculous Red Squirrel project that we've got, I think he would love it and would appreciate what we're trying to do here. So that's who I would like to invite.
From dereliction to restoration, from kayaks to concerts, Andy and Sheila have given Doilycar Island a new chapter. And they're writing it with imagination, patience, and a healthy dose of Shepperton spirit.
What's going on in Shepperton?
Sponsored by Shepperton Matters. Okay, eyes down for a full house. Here's what's going on in July in the Shepperton area. Are you looking for an allotment? Laylam Allotments have plots available. You can get in touch via laylamallotments@gmail.com. Then, on the first week of July, Doilycar Island, as we've heard in this episode, hosts its summer concerts. Gilbert and Sullivan on the Friday, see you there, hopefully. Flow Collective on Saturday and Yacht Brothers on Sunday. Plus, daytime family events with music, games and food. The tickets and info are at doilycarisland.com. Then, over at Riverside Arts Centre, Great Expectations runs from the 3rd to the 5th, courtesy of Sunbury Riverside Players, and you can get tickets via racboxoffice@gmail.com. Saturday the 5th of July is the Leyland Village Fair. Expect stalls, live music, classic cars and dog agility. Ooh, a proper family day out on the rec. On Friday the 11th, Sunbury Library is hosting a coffee morning and quiz. Just 50p, what a bargain. And on Saturday the 12th, head to St Mary's Parish Hall for a poetry and cake afternoon themed around water. Mid-month, from the 14th to the 19th, A Midsummer Night's Dream takes over Twickenham's Fountain Gardens. Open-air theatre, picnics and fairy mischief under the stars. On Saturday the 26th of July, it's the Chertsey and Shepperton Regatta, racing skiffs and punts on the Thames at Dumpsy Meadow. A brilliant local tradition that's been going strong since 1851. And to the end of the month, the High Tide Festival hits Twickenham on Sunday the 27th. Live music, food stalls and a great vibe, all completely free. Can't get better than that. For the full list of local events and details, and there are so many more things going on, make sure you subscribe to the Shepperton newsletter. And you can do that at theshepperton.uk.
Hear this, the Shepperton shout-out.
So it's time for this month's Shepertonian shout-out, and I can't think of anyone more deserving than the incredible team behind this year's Shepperton Village Fair. We featured them last month. From the parade to the arena acts, the classic cars, the stalls, the music, the food, the logistics, the weather wrangling, it takes months of planning and a huge community effort to bring this brilliant day to life. And I think they pulled it off in style. So whether you were on the committee, running a stall, volunteering on the gates, performing, tidying up, or just cheering from the sidelines, you helped make something special happen. Shepperton Fair is one of those events that reminds us how great this village can be when we come together. So thank you to everyone who made it happen. We see you and we appreciate you. And if you've never volunteered before, maybe next year's your year. Don't forget, if you want to give a Shepertonian shout out to a colleague, a friend, a neighbour, a community group, somewhere in Shepperton, then just head to the website, theshepertonian.uk, and hit that red button to record your message. So that's it for this month. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed the episode, do share it with a friend or neighbour. And if you've got a local story, event, or group that you think should feature in a future episode, I'd love to hear from you. You'll find all the links, including a link for the newsletter to get the full list of events and how to get in touch over at theshepertonian.uk. Until next time, take care and I'll see you around. Hi everyone, just wanted to let you know that if you're able, you can now support the production of the Shepherdtonian podcast and email newsletter. All one-off tips go to the hosting, the booking, the marketing, the recording, the writing and editing, and every other aspect of making a show like this. Just head to theshepherdtonian.uk or click on the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening.